Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome Michelle Weidenbender, and she's going to talk about her two novels, Scattered Links and A Cachet, a Predator, and she's also going to talk about helping other writers. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Sherry. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you for being on my show.
My pleasure.
Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Well, I was primarily raised in the suburbs of Detroit when I was younger, and I kind of had a Ford family. My dad worked for Ford for a while, and my grandpa worked for Ford, and I had five brothers, and I used to cry every time my mom brought home a baby, and I knew it was a boy because I thought for sure she didn't like girls. But it was obviously, you know, I didn't understand. But my mom was amazing because she brought up my brothers to be even more sensitive than me. they would cook and clean and babysit. And so I was never like, oh, she's the only girl. She has to take care of all her brothers. It was never like that. So I was pretty lucky. I was pretty spoiled, too.
Only girl.
So, yeah, it was nice. It was nice. The princess of the family. And I live in northern Indiana right now. It's the orthopedic capital of the world. We manufacture hips and knees and shoulders, all those things that we're going to need as we age. And I just stay at home and I write all day. So it's a wonderful life. I am living my dream, and I really enjoy what I do, and I love helping other writers that maybe are struggling in their craft or in their marketing, finding a publisher, whatever it is. So I just love talking shop.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about, do you like to read? Do you have any favorite authors that inspired you?
I am kind of a random girl. I like a lot of genres. And so I'm in a book group, and what's great about that is that every month somebody different picks what we're going to read. So I'd have to say in January my two favorites were The Snow Child and The Orphan Train. One's a historical fiction, and the other one is based on a Russian folk tale. So I'm just kind of all over the place. Because I'm a writer and an author, I can appreciate just about anybody's work as long as they've had it edited. That's kind of a pet peeve. If it's not been edited, it drives me crazy. But I just think that there's so many talented writers with stories to be told. So I just enjoy a wide variety of genres. And I enjoy writing a lot of different genres, which sometimes they say, oh, you need to brand yourself with one specific genre. But it just doesn't work for me, so I'm just kind of different in that way.
I'm like that too. I write what interests me, and my interests vary, so I pop from thing to thing myself.
You're probably more passionate about your writing then. I mean, because if you write what interests you, then you're going to probably portray that in your words and in your craft. So I think that's really important. And there's just so many stories in the world. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm so weird. It's like, I can't wait to get going because I feel like I'm racing against the clock. You know, as I age, I'm only have so many more days to tell the stories I need to tell. So I'm just in a race to do that, so.
Do you have any classic books that you remember reading as a child that touched you?
Wow. Maybe Gone with the Wind because I love the romance. And I hated history growing up, but it's interesting as I age, I love history even more. And that book was able to teach history without it feeling like a history lesson, obviously. And as a young girl, of course, I was, you know, romance was great. So, and I still love romance. Who doesn't? But I think that was probably one. And then maybe the most recent, we read Unbroken about Louis Samperini. and his experience in World War II. And I was able to meet him. He came to speak at a nearby college, and I was like one of those groupies sitting right there in front of the stage, reaching for his hand. Like, he's just amazing because of what he went through. So, and he was still alive. I mean, anybody who could endure that, and he was so poorly abused in these concentration camps, but yet he was able to forgive this one person in particular. It was just unimaginable how anybody could do that. So anyway, so I guess, you know, that was just another one that really inspired me too. I'm always inspired by people who can go be above and beyond and be humble about it. That's always inspiring to me. I have another novel I'm working on about my niece who was hit by a drunk driver. And against all odds, she became a quadriplegic, but her life and her life story is just amazing, and how she's persevered and gone on to become a teacher and to inspire so many children. And anyway, so yeah, I'm always inspired by others who do the amazing.
When you're working on your writing, do you have like a place you like to go? Is it like someplace, do you have an office, or do you prefer to work outside, or
do you get ideas
when you're sleeping?
Again, I'm kind of random that way. I kind of flit from room to room in my house, and then I have a place in Florida sometimes that I go and I hole up and I write there. But probably one of the funniest places, in the spring and summer, we have so many lakes in our county. I'll go in my car with my laptop, and I'll just go sit at the lake in my car. And I think it was in the fall, maybe, because it was kind of chilly out. And I was in the car, and I was writing for a couple hours, and it was just in this empty parking lot that faced the lake. And so I was ready to go home, and I turned my car, and it wouldn't start. And I'm like, God, my lights. I had never gotten out of the car, so my lights had been on for 2 hours. So
oh
I had
God.
To call and get a jump. So I called my husband. I'm like, will you come rescue me? I need a jump. He's like, well, where are you? And so he comes to this empty parking lot. He's like, oh, Michelle, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I was kind of writing. So I just kind of go wherever I feel like at the moment. But I do like it quiet, but I've gotten better at writing with noise, because you just have to be able to block it out, especially when you have like this great idea. So and yes, good ideas come when I'm sleeping. I'm not always good about waking up and writing them down, but I try to do that when I can.
I also find that I get ideas different ways. I mean, I remember my first book, I got the idea during Christmas time driving to the mall and the insanity, and I thought, huh, that's an interesting start of a story. A character who hates Christmas who has to go to the mall to pick up something. So that was the start of my book.
Yeah, I mean, they're so random, the thoughts that come sometimes, aren't they?
Yep.
Oh, and then sometimes you'll have them though. And I had this dream, and it was so real, and it was about this tree that was chasing me, and it was a certain type of tree, and it twisted out of the ground, and it was kind of a paranormal thing. And I sat down and I wrote it because it was so fresh in my mind, and everything I saw and felt and touched and smelled. And then it was like, where is this going? So, you know, but it's all good practice, but there are times when I have moments like that, but you just don't know where they're going to fit in and what story they're going to end up in. But anyway, that's kind
of I had this one short story, well, a series of short stories that I wrote that came from this weird dream. It turned out to be one of my more popular short stories, but it was a bizarre dream. So you never
there
know
you
what's
go.
Going to happen. Yep.
You don't. Hey, Sherry, I wanted to just say one thing, too. My geocaching novel is called Cache a Predator, and so many people want to call it Cache a Predator. So I guess my question to you is, what do you think of that title?
It's interesting. It's catchy.
Well, I've often wondered, you know, should I have named it? Should I have called it something different? Because so many people trip up on the title. And so I decided to write on the novel cover a geocaching mystery, so that maybe that helps people understand that it's cache a predator, and it's, you know, the body part is hidden in the cache box of a geocaching site. So anyway, I just wanted to say that as a side note, because I noticed that you kind of tripped up on that title too. So just
Well, to me, when I see it, I think of the French pronunciation, so I couldn't help it.
Yeah, as a lot of my friends do too, and I found this little YouTube link that says, this is how to pronounce C-A-C-H-E, cache. And so we just made a joke about it because they were all teasing me, you can't name it that, it sounds like cachet. And I was like, well, cachet has like one of those little asterisks over the E, doesn't it? So it's just been a little controversy about the title.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, it's a good selling point. It gets people thinking
maybe.
About it.
maybe so. So,
why don't you give the audience an idea about what your books are about and what they can take away from them?
Well, my recent novel this week that I launched, Scattered Links, started out with the title, Love is Just a Word. And it won the 2013 Aspiring Writing Contest from the Reading Room. And I had entered that just the first 500 words, and it was chosen. So I was really amazed because I got $1,000. I mean, I've just never won any money. But that novel was inspired by my trip to Russia in 1997 to adopt our orphan daughter. She had been in an orphanage for 25 months and was developmentally delayed. And with that came, before we went to travel to Russia, we did a lot of research on children, post-institutionalized children, and what to expect in raising them. And so it kind of piqued my interest. And, of course, once you travel and you see how many orphans are there, it's just heart-wrenching. So that novel was inspired by that. And as far as, like, what I want people to take away, initially I wanted adoptive parents to learn that sometimes love is not enough and it's just a word. I don't know if you've seen that some families are rehoming their children like pets. And
wow.
Yeah, I saw something.
No, I don't believe that. God, that's horrible.
Yeah. But if you understand reactive attachment disorder in children, it's called RAD for short, and you really study the children who did not have early bonding in infancy, it just kind of piques a whole new awareness to how important it is for children to be, you know, held and loved, and for their cries to be answered, for them to be touched and that kind of thing. Thankfully for us, our daughter does not have an attachment disorder, but there are many children who do, and they're often misunderstood. So I guess I wanted just adoptive parents to go into adopting children with open eyes. It's not to say that love can't be enough, because oftentimes it is, but I think that it's important for parents to understand that when you adopt any post-institutionalized children, they are a special needs child with different needs than a child perhaps that was raised and bonded early in infancy. But anyway, Scattered Links is a little more fun than that. It's a young adult novel about a Russian teen who is abandoned in an orphanage when she's 13. And so it's kind of her story. And let's just say that there's a horse involved. In a lot of my research, I found that oftentimes children with attachment disorders will bond with an animal, and it will help them trust again. So a lot of times it's with horses. And so I started visiting all these rescued therapeutic ranches, horse ranches, and I was just, amazed because I didn't know anything about horses before I wrote this book and before I adopted Olivia, who our a Russian daughter is like a horse whisperer. She's just amazing with horses. So anyway, that's kind of what that's about. And Kasia Predator is really about a cop who wants custody of his 5-year-old daughter. And, you know, I just wanted to portray a man in a role where he was the good guy, where he wanted custody of his child, and the courts were siding with the mother, even though she had substance abuse issues. So Kasia Predator is Brett's story about how he gained custody of Quinn, his 5-year-old daughter. But it's also about child abuse and how it can affect the child and those around the child, the community, and how it can last a lifetime for many people that are involved. So, but, you know, the cash part, the geocaching part is just part of the story. You'll just have to read it to find out.
Okay. It sounds like two very different and interesting books. You know, you were talking earlier about publishing. I just wanted to get your take on the different styles of publishing.
Well, right now, there's just so many options, and I love that. I really do. I love how people have so many choices. And when I first started writing over 10 years ago, I was all about waiting for an agent and then waiting for a traditional publisher. And I was okay with being patient because I figured I just wasn't ready and I just needed to write and work on my craft. But once I found more and more published authors who were independently published and started chatting with them via social media, I started thinking about my future and my career. And I am a business person. I'm an entrepreneur. I love marketing. I love meeting people. And I'm not just a writer. I fit the mold of an independently published author. So for me, this has really worked. However, I have a really good friend who's legally blind. And so for her, being an independently published author is going to be more difficult because she can't tap into the blogging, the social media. She's visually challenged. And so I love that there's so many different options and opportunities out there. What I don't like to see is when authors are scammed and they're told, oh, this is so good, you're going to do so well, and you pay us this much money, and we'll see that you're published. And it doesn't have to be that way. So I think my advice would just be to really research all the different options and find one that works for you. I was just at a writer's conference down in Florida, and I met this publishing company called Next Century Publishing, and a group of guys that work for this company, and I loved what they're doing because they're offering publishing for authors, but they're also offering the marketing side of it, and that was something new to me. It's really important to know to have a following as far as like your blog and your platform, and be genuine and be trustworthy to your readers and your fans, and they actually work with the authors on helping them learn that piece. So anyway, I just love the options, and I like change, and I think that the whole industry is really changing right now, obviously, but the paradigm is shifting, and with that comes like all new ideas, and that's exciting.
I agree. I think it's a very exciting time to be an author. And as you said, there are a lot of different kinds of publishing. I think that really a new author has to go by what feels right for them. They don't have to go because everybody else is doing it.
Exactly.
It's more by what you feel? Because some people love having someone take it off their hands once they've written it and they go traditional. And other people want to have complete control, kind of super A control. And then there are other people who are in the middle.
Right, absolutely.
Each person has to find their own niche.
What I will say, though, is, in my opinion, there's the independent published author. There is the small press, and there is the traditional publisher. Mm-hmm. Now, if Catherine Drayton, you know, that's the book beast agent, if she had said, you know, I am going to represent you on Scattered Links, it would have been like winning the lottery, because she has a following in with traditional publishers. But if a small press came to me and said that they would like to represent me, I don't know what there would be to gain in that, because small presses don't really have, can't really do a whole lot more than an independently published author can. And I'm probably going to get feedback from saying that, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, everybody's different. I personally learned from experience not to say that something is wrong. I say what I don't like, but I never say, this is wrong or that you shouldn't go that way, because I'm not another person, and I can't be in their shoes.
No, exactly. You don't know where they're coming from, and sometimes people aren't even. I usually just try to answer and encourage them on their journey, and that's always separate. But what I don't like to see is when somebody's taken advantage of. Obviously,
of course,
but
nobody likes that. Yeah.
No, but sometimes. Sometimes it's worth paying more for a small press if somebody feels like they're uncomfortable with handling a lot of the marketing side of it or the publicity side of it. I totally understand that.
Yeah, but the small press really doesn't handle the publicity side. All they do is they handle the printing side, but they do not handle the publicity, at least not any of them that I've ever heard of.
Yes, and you still have to market yourself. So you're still doing the same. It's just that you're not gaining as much of the profit because you have to share that with them. And so sometimes what they'll do is they'll up their price, which is okay, but then buyers, they know that they can buy a good download book for $5.99 and they're asking $9.99. You know, they're probably not going to buy your book. So you know, and I love, as an independent author, I love being able to handle my own pricing strategies and campaigns and that kind of thing, because, I don't know, it's not really like I'm a control freak. I don't know, maybe my family will say something different, but I just like having a say in that because I find it fun.
Well, we only have like about 5 minutes left, so why don't you tell the audience what you're working on now and if you have any events coming up.
Okay, well, I actually have a book signing event on Saturday morning. It's like a PJ party is what they call it. Cracks me up. Trust me, I'm not wearing my PJs, but I am wearing this T-shirt on the back that says, "Let's eat grandma. Let's eat, comma, grandma. Comma, save lives, use them," or something like that. But anyway, so this event is at a local soap store, and from 7 to 8 a.m., they're going to have like 50% off all their soaps and their lotions, and then from 8 to 9 a.m., they're going to have them at 40%. So I'm going to have a book signing at the same time, and I'm giving away some of their homemade soaps to anybody who comes to buy a book. But and now what I'm working on, I always have a lot of different things going on because I can get bored pretty easily, but I'm working on a children's chapter book series about a little 7-year-old girl. It's like first, second, third grade reader, about a little girl who has to go live with her eccentric grandma on a farm when her mom gets sick. So it's kind of adventures on the farm, and it's funny, and Eclair is her name, and she has... She's very literal. She's sarcastic, literal little girl, but and her grandmother is a hoot. I mean, she just dresses crazy and she does really funny things. So I'm working on that, and I have another young adult novel that I wrote like 5 years ago, and so I'm working with an editor on that in March, and it's a suspense supernatural about a girl, Willow, who heals animals. So that's kind of what there's a lot of other things too. I have Kelly's story, my niece who's the quadriplegic. I want to finish writing her book, but that one's hard whenever there's family involved, you know, and I just don't want to hurt any feelings and say the wrong thing. So I'm probably going to have to go immerse myself and live in that community until the book is finished. That's my plan anyway.
Are you going to have her help you with it?
Well, she has. She has in the past. I have lots and lots of tapes. But it's very difficult to relive a lot of the things that she went through. It's emotionally draining. And the way I have the book written now is that it's from multiple point of views. As it moves the story forward, but you always see it from like her mom's point of view, her brother's point of view. It's kind of like My Sister's Keeper in that book. But it's an amazing story and one that definitely has to be told. So I hope I get to be the one to do that. I just, you know, I have to pace myself because I have, like I said, I have a lot of projects I want to do and just need to keep going and finish, you know?
Yep, I understand. Writing is a varied and strange and wonderful but crazy thing to do.
Yeah. It's very, very fun, though, very rewarding. And I think one of the most rewarding things, so I have to share this one last thing. I hope I have time. One of my friends was with a small press, and she was going to publish, and things started falling apart. She was so upset, and I said, no, it's okay. You can still do it. You can do it this way, and I'll be here. I'll be your cheerleader. I'll help you, you know, point out different things you can do. I'll hold your hand through this. And I don't even know her. I mean, I met her online. She lives in upstate New York, and we just kind of have this friendship. And anyway, things ended up working out for her, but she wrote this article about me and how I helped her, and I had no idea. I just cried when I read it. I mean, that to me was more rewarding than anything I've written, was having the information and the knowledge to help somebody else in their career and in what they were working on just meant the world to me that she was that appreciative. Anyway.
Oh, that is sweet.
It was wonderful. Yeah, it was. Anyway,
sadly, we're at the end of our half hour.
Okay.
It goes very fast.
I know. Thanks so much for having me, Sherry. This was so fun, and I really appreciate everything you did for me here, and hope your listeners enjoyed it.
Thank you. Next week, we're going to have Mitzi Sorrento. She's going to talk about her book, The Wild Passion, Dorian Gray. I'd like my live listeners to thank Michelle, and thank you, Michelle. It was a really nice interview.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for chatting with Sherry.